Please welcome partner at 8bot, Michael Stonis.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining me this afternoon. So today, we're going to talk a little bit about building mobile applications using the reactive extensions. Right? And so in a different life, I was an enterprise application developer. Okay, I worked on these really big systems, developing applications that ran on really big computers across multiple different places, sharing code, and everything like that. And about 5 years ago, I started to get into mobile application development, and I thought, oh, whatever, I've built all these big applications before. How hard can building mobile applications really be? And then I found out pretty quick, it's actually pretty tough, right? So, you know, it's not like these things where I've got a big siloed server that's got a massive network connection to it, massive amounts of CPU and memory. Our mobile applications are kind of small, and our networks are kind of flaky. So when we think about the actual network connection, is it always going to be available? Midway through downloading something, could it fail? And stuff like that, which was kind of difficult. We also have user interaction, right? So people are tapping on the screen, scrolling on the screen, swiping on the screen, doing all those kinds of fun things, and doing all the stuff that you don't really expect them to do. Locally at my company, we usually refer to some of our testers as having hammer fingers. These are the people that tap on the screen 100 million times within a second. You're not exactly sure why they do it, but it seems like there's just a couple of people that always do that on your apps. And then finally, we've got a pretty limited amount of resources. You know, again, coming from the enterprise world, I was used to developing applications that are running on servers with 16 or 32 or 64 gigabytes of RAM. And now we're talking about something where I might have 100 megabytes of RAM. Maybe if it's an even older device, I might have something more like 64 megabytes of RAM. And so I kind of got frustrated and a little bit sad. And I've got a confession. First couple apps I made were trash, right? I thought I was doing the right thing. I had good intentions, but realistically, they didn't turn out so well. And by the time I actually got my applications to a point where I felt good about them, you know, where I had all the different network connectivity checking, all my error checking and everything like that, and the retry logic, they kind of felt like spaghetti code, right? And I would hand them off to a client, or I'd be looking at my own code internally, and I'd say, I don't want to have to ever maintain this again. I don't ever want to have to look at that code base again, right? Because it was kind of hard to follow, and we just needed something to manage all those situations. Also, and I tried my best, but there were things like memory leaks hanging out there. You know, lots of little things when we're talking about our mobile applications, in particular for Xamarin iOS and Android that we have to deal with here with our UI controls and stuff like that. So when we create buttons, when we create list views, table views, we just need to make sure that we dispose of those later on and clean up those resources, and it's not always super easy to do that. And so one day, I was floating around on Channel 9, just watching videos, and I came across this video of a Dutch guy wearing a tie-dye t-shirt, and I thought, all right, I'm interested, I'll watch this video. And he was drawing up on a whiteboard, and he was talking about these things called the reactive extensions, and trying to explain how you could use them to build out all these applications for asynchronous processing and building applications for the cloud and all that kind of good stuff. And so I thought, huh, it's kind of interesting, I should maybe look into that, you know? And this was sort of my point where I felt like I could see the light. Things weren't as bad as I thought that they were. Maybe these applications that were difficult to build could be easier. And so I started researching into it. I realized the reactive extensions were something that were championed by Microsoft and initially released out in 2009. So we are, you know, today, sitting here, it's 2016. These have been out here for a little bit of time. And so, you know, I thought, hey, this is kind of a something that's been available for a while. Why haven't I heard about it? You know, and so I kept on researching here, looked into it further, and realized that, hey, these reactive extensions are built out here again for building these asynchronous and event-based applications. So I thought, yep, this seems pretty good. They're not part of the core .NET framework, so to get them installed, you just have to go out to NuGet, just search for rx-dash, and bring them into your application. And so that's what I did. And I started looking at them and trying to figure them out. And I thought, okay, are these just .NET? No. Reactive extensions are available on multiple different languages here, so obviously C# is going to be supported. But there's actually a huge community for reactive extensions out there in different languages. Some of you might be familiar with things like RxJS, the reactive Java extensions and things like that. So this isn't a .NET only technology, but obviously for today we're just going to be focusing on the .NET side. You know, once I started doing some research, I also looked in to see who was using it. Microsoft, obviously, but we've got companies like GitHub, which use it on their desktop application. We've got SoundCloud, Airbnb, Slack, Trello, Netflix. And some of these people are using it for desktop or client applications, and other people are using this up on the server. So as I kept on researching there, I tried to figure out what are the real use cases here. And what, you know, and as I started splitting it apart here, I saw three kind of main points. First one being real-time data. So if you're dealing with something maybe like a stock ticker, a Twitter feed, you want to get your data in, these reactive extensions can be pretty helpful for that. The next is streams of data, right? Say you're building something that's working over a network, or you're interacting with Bluetooth LE, communicating to a printer, or likewise, the reactive extensions could be pretty helpful for you there too. But the thing that I was most interested in is how could I use the reactive extensions to build out better user interfaces and build better mobile applications. And so I started asking around to people like, hey, do you guys use reactive extensions? Does anybody use these? Actually, can we get a show of hands? Anybody in the crowd use these? Right? Awesome. Very cool. And so I talked to people, and they'd be like, I don't know, man. I tried looking at it for a weekend, and my brain started to melt, and I just left it and walked away. Right? Or, you know, other people would say, I just use async and await, man. I don't ever want to touch it. It's cool. Or, you know, I think if you use reactive extensions, everything in your application has to be reactive, and I'm not about to go there. And I have to imagine some of the people here that aren't using reactive today maybe have the same kind of feeling or talk to other people and heard the same types of things. And so what I want to do today is just kind of give everybody an overview and try to dispel some of those myths, giving you an idea of how we could use the reactive extensions in our applications and you know, not have to do everything reactively, or maybe enhance our applications so that they could run a little bit better and faster, right? And I think the key piece to start off with here are the core concepts, all right? And so before we go into the reactive stuff, let's start somewhere familiar. Everybody here is probably familiar with IEnumerable. We're going to go query some web service, we're going to get some data back, and then we're going to run a for each loop maybe on top of it to unpack all that data. Right? The way IEnumerable generally works is that we're going to receive our package, we're going to open up the package, then we're going to run through all the items inside of the package, right? Pull data out of it. Something like this. Here's people, for each through those people, and for each person in there, maybe just write something out to the console. All right, so our first reactive extensions concept that we need to understand here is IObservable. Right, so if the enumerable is going to give us a package, one big package that we unpack and pull all the items out of, IObservable is going to work more like a conveyor belt. All right, notifications are basically being put onto that conveyor belt, and they're being moved down the line. You'll also hear this referred to pretty commonly as being a stream. What's interesting about this is that it doesn't really have an end, or it may have an end. When we think IEnumerable, again, you kind of get that package, and that's the end of it. With IObservable, you may get no packages, you may get one package, or you might get an indefinite amount of packages. Furthermore, we could do filtering on it, right? So if we want to get a package in, we could say, hey, this package really needs to be put into a larger package before it gets shipped out. Or we might look at the package that came in and say, we don't want it, push it off the conveyor belt. We've got a lot of different ways we can create these observables, and I've just got a few examples up here. Right, so if you want to make an observable and just get notifications between 1 and 100, right, this will just give us a list of notifications between 1 and 100 to our stream. If we wanted to create an observable using a timer and say, hey, every 3 seconds, put a package onto that conveyor belt, we could do that as well. But the one that I thought was actually kind of interesting here is this one, observable from event pattern. What this allows us to do is take a .NET event and convert it into an observable. All right, and so if you look at the middle part here, where we have text entry.textChanged, what this is using here is just a Xamarin Forms entry field, and we're listening to the text changed event. And every time that text change event occurs, we're just going to put a notification out on that conveyor belt. Okay, but this is really just one side of our story. Okay, and as I mentioned here, we've got are packages going on the conveyor belt, but at this point in time, they're just getting sent out into the ether. Okay, so we might have another package coming down the conveyor belt. There's nobody there to listen for it. So our second important piece here is subscribing. Right? Subscribing is the act of actually receiving those packages, saying, hey, I'm interested in receiving that package and maybe processing it further. Each one of those values that comes into it, or each notification that comes in, could be processed using an action of T. At the end of there, with that observable, we could have multiple subscriptions. So multiple different subscribers can receive that package and process the data uniquely. And then when we're all done with it, we kill that subscription by calling using iDisposable. All right, so I like to fish. And the way that I like to think about observables is kind of like fishing. So when I go fishing, I cast my line. I've got my line in the water, and on the end of it, I have a bobber. This is our observable for fish. Okay, it's listening for fish out here. This guy over on the left here, this is me. I'm the fisherman, and I'm the subscriber for fish. What I'm going to do is I'm going to wait until that bobber wiggles, lets me know I've caught a fish, and then I want to receive it. Okay, so hey, you've received a fish, then I can take that fish. Hey, there's another fish, I'll take that fish. Well, what if we catch something like this? I don't know what that is. I don't want that. Well, we could use observables to filter those out. So get that thing out of here. Right, and then if we get another fish later on, we could subscribe to that, and I could take that in as well. And so that's how these two things fit together, right? Our observable is out there listening for these events, and then our subscriber is consuming those later on. To create a subscription, it looks a little bit like this. We start with our observable. And with that observable, we're going to make a call to subscribe. So we're going to say with each one of those notifications that comes in, consume that data and do something with it. In this example, I'm just going to write out to debug.writeline. When we're all done with it then, take that subscription that you've created and dispose of it. So it's nice. We could clean this up very easily, right? We could also do more complicated things, though. So we could say, hey, whenever we have that observable and we get an item in on that observable, let's use some link to process it further. So we could use a where statement on there, and we could say, hey, we only want fish when they're not crustaceans. So if it's a crustacean, filter it out. Don't even tell us about it. We can also process the data down further if we'd like. So we could say, we're not interested in the whole fish. We're just interested in the name. So then we could return out a string of just the name from that fish. Finally, then, we could subscribe to that name and do whatever processing we want with it. The one thing you might notice about this, though, is that you're going to end up with a whole bunch of disposable objects. And so as you're building your subscriptions and as you're getting your data in, you're going to end up with all these items that need to be disposed. So to help us with this, we have this really cool object out here called Composite Disposable. Composite Disposable is essentially just a container for disposable objects that allows us to batch dispose of them all at once. Right? And so even if you go away from this talk and you say, I don't want to use reactive extensions, it's not for me, at least take a look at this Composite Disposable object. It's pretty cool because, like I mentioned, we could use it for our observables, take everything in, subscribe to them, and dispose of them all at once. But you could also use it for anything that implements iDisposable. So I find myself using this for user interface components, maybe if I'm listening to something like a notification. And at some point in time, everything goes into the Composite Disposable for me because I'm a little bit paranoid about cleaning up resources, right? So if anybody here has been a mobile developer for a while, you might be in that same camp. Right, and so I've got just a simple example of how we use that Composite Disposable. This is actually inside of a view controller in iOS, and we're just listening to some notifications that iOS provides to us. We want to know when the user took a screenshot or when the user or when the battery level changes on the device, right? And all we have to do is just get those objects that return out our make calls that return out iDisposable. We add them in, right? So we've got our Composite Disposable called Disposable Notifications. And then when we're all done using them, we could just call clear, and that will batch dispose of everything for us. All right, but we've really just touched the tip of the iceberg. Again, we only have about 45 minutes, and there's a lot of different things inside of Reactive, so we're not going to be able to cover everything here, but I just want to give everybody kind of a high-level overview, right? And you're also probably saying, hey, Mike, I want to actually see some code. You've been talking about these things. I wanted to learn how I could use this in my app. Can you actually show me some code now? So the answer is yes. If anybody's wondering why I have a shirt that says, "Hey, Mike," it was something that happens at the office all the time. All my employees and all of our people would always come up to me and say, "Hey, Mike, hey, Mike, hey, Mike." And eventually, at some point in time, the people thought it would be funny to get a shirt and just put my name on it there. All right, so what we're going to do here is work through an application that I built and use different parts of reactive extensions. All right, if anybody's interested in getting this, this app out here, it's available up on GitHub. So it's github.com/the8bot/reactive-examples. If you don't get this link right away here, just come find me afterwards, and I'd be glad to give it to you. All right, the application that we're going to look at here is a Xamarin Forms application. And I've already got it up and running. It's going to work on iOS or on Android. It's not exactly the prettiest application, but it's just here for demo purposes, right? And what I'd like to do here is just work through some of the features that reactive extensions provide to us and how we could start using them in our applications today. So let's take a look at our first example. Let's say we have some kind of a text entry field, and we want to delay the notification of that text entry to our user interface. So we might have something like this. Evolve rocks, exclamation point. What we're seeing here is 3 seconds after I type, the user interface is being updated. If I go in here and erase this, see. Right, you could see that 3 seconds later, I start getting my events pushed out to my user interface. So let's take a look at the code that's actually running this and see how we made this work. All right, so I got my code file here. And as we work through all these examples, they're all going to be split up into three parts. The first part we're going to skip over here. It's just the setup of the user interface. But the second part's going to be the setup of our observable, and the last part is the setup of our subscription. So in this example, let's look at the setup of our observable. Right, what I'm saying out here is, from the event pattern, for my text changing, I want to create an observable from it. Using that observable that I've created, I can now use this nice, fluent, or compositional style to say, delay these notifications for 3 seconds. All right. I can also go through and filter down the data that's coming out of there. So I could say, select the data that's coming in. The data that was originally coming in are the event arguments. And I could say, I'm not really interested in all the event arguments. I'm really just interested in the new value. And so what this is going to do is give me a new stream that's returning out string values. Okay. One thing to look at here that I think is really cool is that, you know, just in these lines of code, I could see a really good workflow of what's happening here. I have events that are being raised. These events are being delayed for 3 seconds. And then after that, I'm going to change the values that are being returned out of there. Finally, then later on, what I'm going to do inside of our subscriptions is subscribe to it. So here again, you can see I've got that text entry observable that I created earlier. And I'm going to make a call out there to subscribe. Subscribe then is going to give me a string for each one of those notifications. So for each character that I typed on the keyboard, I'm going to get a notification for that string out of it. What we could do with this here is update our user interface. Finally then, just for brevity and to make things a little bit easier to read, I've created a quick little extension method called disposeWith. And this allows us just to go in there and take that subscription that we had and add it into our composite disposable. All right, so you can see again, I've got this split into two pieces here, but imagine we were to come through and just modify this here like this, right? We could easily have this be updated to be one big long story. And this is what I think is really cool about the reactive extensions. We have our observable up here that's letting us know about how we're getting our notifications. We could see that we're delaying them. We could see how we're filtering them. And we could see how we're subscribing to them. Finally, we know what object that we're putting them in to dispose of them later on. You know, this isn't just doing your regular plus equals on an event and then searching through all your methods to find out where you actually handle that event later on. It's nice. It's composable. I could read this. I could kind of scan it really fast. And I've got a pretty good idea of what's going on. All right, so let me just undo this really quick here. Let's take a look at some of the other things that we could do with reactive extensions. So delay is cool. What if we wanted to keep, what if we only wanted to process the data once somebody stopped using it? So we could say, I am typing field. I'm going to keep on typing, right? And you can notice that my user interface isn't updating. But in this case, I'm going to delete. There we go. And then we're going to wait 3 seconds, and you'll see I get a notification out onto the screen. So throttle is going to allow us to basically keep out all of our notifications until we have some kind of condition that's met, or maybe some kind of time period. In our case, I say throttle out these changes for up to 3 seconds, and then notify us about them. But here's something that's kind of neat about this, though. So let's go look at how this is implemented. Right, this might look familiar, this might look similar to what we just saw in the last example. I've got an observable that I'm creating, and instead of delaying in this case, just making a call to throttle. Right, throttle this out for 3 seconds. So kind of neat, it looks very similar to what we saw in the last example. If we keep on working through here, we can see that we could do other things too, like buffer. Imagine you got in a batch of updates all at once. You may want to process through those updates or maybe look at them and join them all together before pushing them out further. So buffer right now is just saying, hey, tell me every 3 seconds once I get an update. You can see that there's no updates on the screen, so we're still getting notified every 3 seconds, but nothing's really changed. If I come in here and type, though, Valve rocks, you can see I'm going to get in a whole big group of notifications in one big batch, right? So I can get in a whole big buffer of data. And then it will continue to notify us out there as well. Again, if we were to look at the code behind this, it's going to look the same or very similar, right? We're going to get our buffer set out here. We're going to create our buffer just using a time span. We're going to say buffer out data for every 3 seconds. And buffer is going to be just a little bit different here because instead of just giving us a single notification, buffer has taken all of the notifications that have occurred within that time span and given it to us as one list. Right, and I'm just going to go and join that list so it's a little bit easier to read. And just like before then, we're going to subscribe to it and update our user interface. So kind of some neat things here. All right, but one of the issues that you may notice here is that as I stay on this page, it's going to continuously notify. So what if I don't want to be notified when there wasn't any changes? What we could do is introduce a where statement. All right, so the same link that you're using today with IEnumerable is available to us out here using the reactive extension. So now in this case, you could see I'm not getting those notifications every 3 seconds. But again, if I were to come into here and say something like Orlando is fun, you could see now I get my notifications out there. But after I'm done typing, we won't have any screen updates. Again, if we take a look at the code behind here, you can see it's just like we had it before. We're going to have our buffer, but now what we've done is we've introduced a where clause. So again, these are things that we do day to day here. I'm sure all of us are using link, using where, using select statements, and so it's not too frightening from that perspective. And like I said, all I'm going to do here is just filter out if we don't have any updates. You're probably saying, all right, Mike, this is cool, this is fun. Let's see something more interesting. All right, so sampling. How many people here have had to create a type-ahead listener, kind of like what's out there on Google, an autocomplete listener? How many people enjoyed writing that? How many people got it right their first time? No hands, one hand. We got some pros out here. Right, so what if we wanted to create our own type-ahead listener? Right, we want to do something to, say, search for Ribwitches, right? Got just a simple example here. This is a pretty cool site if nobody's seen this before. It's a Frinkiac, just an index of Simpsons quotes tied to episodes. So what we could do here is create something like a search here that's going to wait and pull every 2 seconds for changes. So we don't want to get every single keystroke. We maybe only want to look every 2 seconds or 3 seconds for an update. We'll do another one. We'll do Pray for Mojo. It's a pretty good episode if you haven't seen that one before, right? In any case, it's super easy for us to do this, right? So looking at our code again, it's going to look similar to what we saw in all the other examples. We're not using a buffer, we're not using a throttle, we're just changing it to use a sample. And so what Sample is going to do is it's going to say every 2 seconds, or 3 seconds in this example, I'm just going to give you the latest notification that I received. So now doing things like that autocomplete or that type ahead, it's actually pretty straightforward. Right, and I'm just taking that value and pushing it into the URL that we could send out afterwards. All right, and so like I talked about earlier here, imagine you have these different conveyor belts running with streams of data. They're pushing down different notifications to our users. Now imagine you had multiple different streams that you wanted to bring together. Well, Reactive makes taking those different strings and putting them together pretty easy. So say here we have 4 different streams, one of them based off of all of these button clicks, and we wanted to know which one was the last one to come through, which one was the last one to click the button. We could do something here like this, and we could say, hey, it was Venkman. He merged the streams. Or maybe it was Stans. And if we look at the actual implementation here, it's fairly straightforward. Right? So what we're going to do here first is create an observable based off of all the button clicks for each one of those buttons. So we're going to end up with 4 observables right up front. Again, a stream for each set of button clicks. Down here below, then, what we're going to have is a merge statement to take all 4 of those streams and converge them into one stream. So now it's one stream of data. This is kind of neat. You know, it's kind of a contrived example here with doing it with button clicks or something like that. But imagine you were going out and polling different news sources, going to multiple different RSS feeds, or maybe also going to Twitter. You could do something like that, get your results as maybe a list of string back, and then put all those string results back into one continuous stream. So really kind of a neat thing here. And then finally, right, we'll just have our select here. We could get out the values from that button click, modify it for display, and then down here, subscribe. Right? So it's kind of nice. You know, everybody's probably seeing that there's a pattern here. Everything looks the same. Everything feels the same. We're going to dispose of these things the same way. From a maintainability perspective, it's quite nice. From that disposal and memory leak perspective, I know that I could just call disposables on there and clean up all my resources. All right, so let's actually look at something fun. Imagine you've got to do something like this, like build a color slider. And what we want is the last value that came off of each one of those sliders. So we don't actually want just one stream. What we want to know is, what's the last value that came off of each one of those streams? And then let's compare them all as one. So what we want to do is say, hey, I'm going to scroll red over here. Let's add in some green, maybe some blue at the end. Right? We want to update our user interface. And so again, Reactive Extensions makes doing something like this, combining those streams, relatively easy. And so if we look at the implementation here, what you'll see is I've got 3 observables. A red value changed observable that's just listening to the value changed event out here. It's going to get out our latest value, right? It's going to get the new value that's been provided in. And then we have this new method that we're calling out here called startWith. This is basically just a way for us to prime our observable. Maybe somebody hasn't actually moved the value change slider yet, so we haven't had anything come down that conveyor belt. What we want to do is just say, hey, start with the value 0, and then whatever notification that we get out later, we'll use that. We're going to do essentially the same thing for our green slider and our blue slider here. And then down below, what we're going to say is we want to combine the latest values. Right, so we're going to start with our red value changed observable, and then we're going to combine that with our green value changed observable and our blue value changed observable. Finally, then, what we're going to do is we're going to take the current value from the red, the green, and the blue observable, and we're going to convert that into a Xamarin Forms color. Right, so kind of neat. Get the latest value. We don't have to worry about, you know, bringing all this data together and marshaling it all together in different spots. It's nice, it's clean, and fairly easy to read. Right, down here then, we just subscribe to it, update our background color, and then when we're all done with it, we can dispose of it. Now some of you are saying, like, Mike, I'm not sold, man. I like async and await. This reactive stuff seems cool, but I don't know. I don't like it. I don't ever want to use it. But there's something that's kind of neat about Reactive Extensions and observables is that we can mix them in with async and await. Right, so imagine we've got a sample bit of code like this where we need to call a web service. And every so often with that web service, it might fail. Right, we want to be able to retry it. So we'll give it some tries here, give it some tries here. Bummer, looks like our calculation failed. And we want to be able to recover from that situation. Maybe it's a network disconnect. You know, maybe it's something where we've timed out because it took too long to finish. And sometimes writing that code could be quite difficult. You know, we might go out to NuGet or NuJ, if you will, and pull out separate libraries to help us do things like retry and help us do things like timeout. But we're using the reactive extensions, we could do this quite easily. Right, so if we look at this example here, we'll go down here first. Here's our async method. Right, it could be doing anything here. It's not super important. It's just doing a fun little calculation. The one thing that you may notice out here, though, is that it will throw an exception if we mod 2 equal to 0 on the value. All right? But what we could do with the reactive extensions is this, is we can create an observable from an async method. So all those async methods that you have hanging around today that you've built, we can enhance. Right? So this is really neat and really interesting. The first thing that we could do on here is we could say, hey, time out that async. Right? Maybe it's from a library that you don't own. Maybe it's from a calculation that runs awry every once in a while. What we could do is we could add on this call here to timeout. We could say this should run for 300 seconds. And if it goes any longer than that, it's going to throw a timeout exception for us. So we could kind of bolt on this timeout onto our code. We could also tell it to retry. This code fails, right? We want it to retry 5 times. We could add that on there as well. And then down here, we could say, hey, catch those changes. Maybe if we get that timeout exception, we set our value to -1. Alternatively, if we just get a regular exception, we're going to return out -100. So, you know, the kind of the neat thing here, like I mentioned, is that we have the ability to convert our methods from async and await methods into observables. What you might notice here, though, as well, is that we can await observable calls. Right? You might be saying, like, huh? But, huh? No, you can only await tasks and things like that. But no, it's cool. So we could take observables and we can also await them. And you might be saying to yourself, like, Mike, I'll never do that. I've never done that ever. There's no way. I've never used a library that uses that. And some of you might be coming from a presentation that was held here earlier today that was talking about Akavash. Right? Who here has used Akavash? Who here knew that Akavash returns an observable and not a task for its calculations? Just a few people. Right, so I'm guessing a lot of people here use something like this, get or fetch latest, right? I've got some RSS feed that I want to update, go out there, call my method, get that data and cache it out. But this doesn't actually return out a task, this returns observable. So guess what? You've all been using reactive extensions and you didn't even know it. Right, so it's kind of cool here. What you can also do is you could do some neat things with Akavash here if you further embrace the reactive extensions. So say, for example, we want to make a call out here that says get and fetch latest. Right? Get and fetch latest is going to take whatever we have in the cache and immediately display it and then send out a notification to us. And then it's going to go try and get the latest updates and put those into the cache. And so if we were to use that method, then we could subscribe to those updates. Right, potentially 2 or multiple times out there. If we get the first update, if we have something in the cache, and then as we receive new data, we could update our user interface again. Right, and I've just got a quick example that I could show you here. And I hope there's nothing bad. This is actually going to go out to the Reddit homepage. Hopefully there's nothing bad on here. But the idea is we could call update our RSS feed, and it's going to go and get that data and show it. And it's a little bit difficult to see, but if we were to look through the debug log here, you could, if you read through it, you'll see that we're actually pulling data from our local cache first, then retrieving it from the site and displaying that secondary update there. All right, so some of you might be a little bit more interested now, but maybe you're not, or if you are pretty interested, you might be saying, well, this is neat, but you know, kind of all the code that you're showing here, Mike, it's all in line. We do MVVM, we do all this other type of stuff. We don't write code like that anymore. And I understand. It's how a lot of us like to code nowadays. And so, if you're ready to deep dive in, there's actually an MVVM framework out here based on reactive called Reactive UI. The idea here is that we're going to use these concepts that we've seen earlier behind observables and things like that, and we're going to move them into our backend code. So we're going to make our MVVM pattern a little bit more robust using these reactive extensions. We're going to update our view models so that they can kick out observables and things like that. It's really neat, and I'll show you an example here in just a second. What's also cool about it is that it's going to work on basically every major .NET platform. So whether we're talking about iOS, you know, or Android, or if you're doing UWP applications, anything like that, Reactive UI is supported out there. Or if you're already using an existing framework. You know, in my demo here, I'm just using Xamarin Forms, and we're going to introduce some Reactive UI into it. Even if you're using something like MVVM Cross, you could add that into there as well. If you're interested in this, most of the good information is out here at reactiveui.net. Right, and so let's take a quick look here into how we could add in those Reactive UI components into our user interface. So again, this will look similar. We just saw something like this a few moments ago. And you can see I've got my color slider again for red, green, and blue. But this time, we've set it up a little bit differently. Right, the first thing I want to do here is we'll take a look at our view models. OK, so I've got this view model here called color slider. And what you'll notice inside of color slider is that it has three properties, one representing red, green, and blue based on an int. Reactive UI has something a little bit different than iNotify property changed. We're actually going to use this call here called raise instead of changed. Conceptually, you could think of it as the same kind of idea, though. And so anytime one of these properties gets updated, we're going to raise some kind of a notification. With Reactive UI, then, we get some additional syntax and some helpers to make our lives even easier. So we get this nice little call here that says when any value. And what when any value means is that when any one of these values changes, take those values and pull them together. Right? So it's very similar to what we saw out there with the combine earlier. We're going to say, give me the value from red, green, and blue. And we're going to use it to create this new color object. We could then take that color object, and we could create a new property based on it. So I think this is kind of interesting as well, right? We've got the red, green, and blue values. And what we want to do is expose a read-only property outside of our view model that can be consumed later on. So you'll see here I've got this property called color, and it's an observable as property helper. If we go back to our user interface then and look at our color slider, you can see here we're going to have some neat functionality here to do things like bind. So we could say, hey, using my view model in its red property, I would like to bind that to the value of my red slider and its value. So anytime one of these changes, keep each other up to date. Finally, then, too, or as well, what we can do is say, hey, whenever we have a value changed for that color, we'd like to update our user interface. And so you might notice a nifty little thing here that's called ObserveOn. And so how many people here have had a crash in their application when you write it and you forget to update the user interface off of the user interface thread? Happens to me every once in a while, right? Happens to all of us. What we could do here is we could introduce this call called ObserveOn, which basically says whenever I get a notification into me, I'd like to listen to that on a particular thread, right? And so what this is saying on this line of code is that I'd like to listen to that on my main thread, or my UI thread in this example, right? So that I know anything that goes inside of subscribe here now is going to be executed on the UI thread. I don't have to worry about making calls to begin invoke on UI or anything like that. I know that anything that's within subscribe here is taking care of that. So kind of neat stuff. I've got one last example here I could show you of something that we probably all do pretty commonly, right? And we've just got a simple login page. What we want to do is keep that login button disabled until we've provided the proper information. So I could say michael.stonis@8bot.com, my super secure password of password 1. And as you'll notice as I'm typing here, eventually our login button enables or disables. And all of this is being controlled by our view model. All right, so if I look at my view model here, I'm going to use that when any value. Again, I'm going to say whenever a value changes for my email address or my password, What I want to do is take those values together as one here and do some validation on it, right? First, we're just going to run a regex and see if it's a valid email. And then we're going to validate our password. And this isn't great password validation, right? But we're just going to see if it's a length greater than 5. If we've met those checks, then we can assign that to a read-only property of isValid, right? So now I know that my user interface is valid. So kind of some neat stuff that we could do here. Again, you know, I haven't gone into super detail on everything. And what I'd like everybody to do is, if you are interested in this, is to jump out here, go grab this code, play around with it. If you have any questions, come get me. Say, hey, Mike, I've got a question. Hey, Mike. You know, and I'm always glad to answer those or to field any of those. If you are, if you are interested in doing that deep dive here, there's some great references and examples online. One fantastic place here is intro2rx.com. If you really want to know how the inner workings of everything is going on there, all those where statements and whatnot, go to intro2rx. It's not going to be like a one-day read, but go in there, read it a few times, and it's an extremely great example of how to use these extensions. There's the reactivex.io site. So if you guys are maybe JavaScript developers as well, or if you want to see sort of how the different reactive communities are working together, you could see all the different languages that reactive extensions are supported on. And you could kind of read through the documentation for the different implementations out there as well. In order to get a good idea of how to visualize how these reactive extensions are working, so like I mentioned, those observables are kind of coming down a conveyor line, there's a really great way to visualize this using the RX marbles. Okay, RX marbles are going to show you sort of what happens when you do a merge, or what happens when you make a call like zip that's going to put two items together. Gives you a good way just to look at it and understand how it's working. If you're interested in looking at the code, it's out here at github.com/reactivex. And then finally, I have a bit.ly link at the bottom. One of the maintainers of Reactive UI has done a really great video series running through, I think it's 35 or so videos, of building an application using Reactive extensions and using Reactive UI. All right, so Kent Bugart, great job there. And he's, like I said, he's one of the maintainers out there for Reactive UI. And if you go to that link, you could go through all those videos. And so with that, I'd like to say thanks to everybody who joined me here today. Hope you learned a little bit more about reactive extensions. Hopefully, I've dispelled some of the myths and made it not so scary, and you all go back and start using them in your apps. So thank you, and have a great rest of Evolve.